launch, the second stage of the rocket exploded in space as it attempted to launch a batch of Starlink internet satellites into orbit. Pirates right-hander Paul Skeens will be the starting pitcher for the National League at Tuesday's All-Star Game in Arlington, Texas. He's now the fifth rookie pitcher to start the All-Star Game, the first in nearly 30 years. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go
it
ahead.
Clean.
Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That. That's
wow. That's unbelievable. Impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly sunny and highs in the upper 80s. Chance of storms tonight, a low around 70. Thunderstorms for Sunday, otherwise sunny, hot and humid, a high near 91. Heat index in the upper 90s, still hot on Monday.
It's 86 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. I am Mark Becker, your host, and you are at the Rational Revolution here on Civic Media. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Hey, we've got a great guest here, but if you missed it last week, if you're a fan of motorsports, we had a really interesting guest. We had Paul Page, who is the voice of the Indianapolis 500, legendary broadcaster for for decades. If you want to listen to that, head over to the Civic Media app. It'll take you to the website. We got all the episodes available to download, including this one. And this is a really, really special one for myself, and it's a special one, I think, for the show. I don't even know where to start with this gentleman's resume. So I'm going to introduce him. Everybody knows Governor Tommy Thompson joins us. How are you, sir?
I am absolutely great. And what a fantastic introduction.
Oh, I'm not
and
done.
Let me tell you,
I'm not done.
Let me tell you what a great interviewer you are.
Oh, God.
What a great program. And your name, A Rational Revolution. I love it.
Thank you so much. That's the goal.
Let's get going on the interview. But thank you for having me, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. You know what's crazy is, you know, I've known you for a while, and you know, in preparation for this, I was looking at, you know, at your resume, what you've done, and so I'm just going to go over it a little bit with our listeners, because I think they deserve to hear this, because I thought I knew a lot about you, but I didn't know one of the most important things. I mean, you were you served in the United States military for 10 years. You were a captain in the Wisconsin National Guard. Oh my gosh! And it wasn't an easy time to be in the military at that time. Right. So you were a captain of the National Guard and National Guard Reserves for 10 years. You went on, you received your Juris Doctorate of Law from University of Wisconsin-Madison. Go Bucky.
Go Bucky.
Go Bucky. You were 25 years old. You were elected to the state assembly. Sworn in when you were 26.
24.
Okay. So at 24, you served. You were sworn in at 25. And you served for 20 years. You were elected as the 42nd governor of the state of Wisconsin. You held that office longer than anyone in history. Only person ever in Wisconsin elected four times. During your tenure, and this is near and dear to my heart because I love trains, you were the chairman of Amtrak, the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, and the National Governors Association. And if that wasn't all, you were appointed the 19th Secretary of Health and Human Services. You spearheaded initiatives like reorganizing Medicare, Medicaid to encourage greater efficiency. You approved over 1,400 state plans.
Well, and on Medicare, Part D, that's my idea.
Yes, I'm right.
Every senior out there that gets drugs, Part D was under my supervision, and I'm the one that got it passed in Congress. After George W. Bush said, I want to do something for drugs, you take care of it, Tommy. Part D is mine.
Which is, arguably that could be, you know, quite honestly, the most important thing, because, you know, prescriptions and seniors, that's vital to their very survival. So, I mean, it's crazy. And you approved over 1,400 state plans, provided health insurance to over 1.8 million lower-income Americans. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And then in the aftermath of 9/11, you strengthened the nation's preparedness for bioterrorism attacks, stockpiled vaccines, invested in public health infrastructure. And then if that wasn't all, back in 2020, the UW system needed help, and they said, hey, Tommy, help us. And you did. I mean, and you served as the head of the UW system while they were in desperate need of help. I mean, the service.
For 2 years.
Yes.
For 2 years.
For 2 years, right. Service is really in your DNA.
It is. It really is.
You know, and it's remarkable the things that you've done. And I want to ask you, as we kind of start, just about a couple of those, other than father, grandpa, husband, what is your favorite title that you've had?
Governor.
Why?
Well, I mean, governor, you know, secretary was a bigger job because it encompassed all of the United States and the world, and it's had a budget of multi-billions of dollars, and had over 75,000 employees, and was in every country in the world. So that was great. But to be able to be elected by your peers, by your fellow citizens, four times as governor, is truly something that I marvel at, but also I so much appreciate the love and the respect and the and the friendship I've developed with the people of this great state. I love Wisconsin. I love its citizens. And to be able to have the citizens of Wisconsin say, you can be governor and then reelect me three more times after that, that to me is the biggest, next to my family, is the biggest accomplishment. And I love the title governor.
I think what one of the things that, you know, people, it endears you to people so much is, you know, I read all of those things that you did. And, you know, you have a doctorate degree. You served in the military. You've had experience and worldly experience like nobody has had. But you're the good old boy from Elroy. And you can take a really complex issue and boil it down and make it make sense to someone who has a high school diploma. You know? And it's never above anyone. You know, and it's something that's what Wisconsin is all about, right?
I think it is, and I thank you for that description, because my father taught me. He says, when I was working for him in the grocery store, he said, "Son, you got two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion, and you'll get along."
Yeah.
And he says, "Being an educated man from the university gives you the ability to talk to anybody, anywhere, at any time." So pick your audience and don't think you're better than anybody.
Yeah.
And always respect everybody, and always have a smile on your face if you can. And those advice from my mother and father, and I hold them dearly. Two ears and one mouth, yes, and you'll do okay, Tommy.
Well, I think that's how, you know, that propelled you to four elections, and you were elected even when you didn't have the majority in the Assembly and the Senate, and you still got a lot done because you were able to, you never were above anybody, and you're still not. And you really showed respect to everyone, which is awesome. That's why.
When I first got elected governor, Mark, I was the only Republican that won a statewide election from an incumbent Democrat. It was a big Democrat.
Seriously.
Year.
I didn't know that.
And I was the only one that won that year. I believe that's correct. And so, yes, it was always, my belief is you always want to shake hands and look somebody right in the eye and say, I need you to vote for me. I want to help you, and I want to be your representative. And people in Wisconsin respond to that sincerity, that honesty, and that friendliness. That's Wisconsin. And I love it, and I brag about it all the time. You know, Wisconsin's the greatest state in America, bar none.
That's
people here smile and use common sense and get the job done. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about this great state we call home.
I want to ask you, and this is more for me than anybody, but one of the most transformative events, and probably the most transformative event in my life, you know, in terms of like news and all of that, was September 11th. I remember sitting in Mr. Kyle's biology class when the principal of Green Bay East High School came over the loudspeaker and said, you know, America is under attack. And if the world stopped, it did. And I know what it was like in Green Bay, Wisconsin. My mom, she worked at the church that we went to back in 2012. You went to Church and Alley Resurrection, and I was there. And we went and opened the doors at night on September 11th, and people were waiting outside just because they wanted to go to church and pray. You know, what was that like being in the halls of power that day?
Mark, it's going to take me a little bit.
That's okay. We got time.
Okay. It was absolutely surreal. I had invited scientists from all over the world to come in and talk about developing a one vaccine for all flus.
Oh, wow.
So you wouldn't have to get a flu shot every year. And I had scientists coming in from all over Europe and Asia, and they were here for a meeting with me, and we're going to spend that week coming up, hopefully, with a ubiquitous vaccine to cure all flus. when I had breakfast with him and I left, and I heard heard about the first plane hitting the building in New York, North Tower. We sped up to my office. I called everybody in. By that time, we had the TV on. The second tower was hit, and so I knew that I was going to have to act, because I knew there was lots of casualties.
Yeah.
You could see it by people jumping out of the windows and fires and everything like this. And so I asked the attorneys if I could declare a health emergency for the country. And they said, nobody's ever done that. And I said, well, I want to do it. Is there any law that says I can? They said, you can't find any law that says you can. No law says you can. And I said, that doesn't matter. I'm going to do it. And so I said, prepare the order, because I knew I was going to have to act.
Yep.
And so by 9:30, I had an order declaring a national health emergency in America.
Wow.
And we had medical depots where we had hundreds of thousands of medicines and so on. We have 8 of them around the country. After 9/11, I expanded that to 10.
Oh, cool.
They're highly classified.
Yeah.
But as you know, the president or the vice president had declared in the United States Armed Forces and Air Force had declared no planes could get up. I said, I got to have an exemption to get a plane in the sky, and because we had to get tons of medical supplies up to New York. And I think we might have been the only outside agency outside the Air Force that got a plane in the air that day. And we delivered, I think, 50 tons of medical supplies to New York by 5 o'clock that day. And
I'm going to stop you right there. We're up against a break, and I want to continue this discussion on the other side. We got Tommy Thompson. Okay. We're talking about, his experience as secretary on 9/11. This is fascinating, and you're going to want to hear the rest of this story. So we'll see you on the other side. And thank you very much for listening to Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, your host. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson. He was talking about how on 9/11, you hear the narrative that all of the planes in the United States had to be grounded, but you were talking about how you were able to get a plane in the air with some medical supplies up to New York. Continue that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's quite right. And we got 50 tons of medical supplies. Masks, gloves, different types of medicines up to New York, and it was amazing because that's what they needed. And then all the cabinet secretaries were ordered, except for Secretary of State and Department of Defense, were ordered to go on helicopters out of Washington, D.C., ordered by the Vice President Dick Cheney, because the president was in Florida and had not gotten back to Washington. And so I didn't want to go, and they forced me to go. But I told my security to pick me up, go out to Virginia, where there's a city in the mountains for the continuation of government. And everybody went out there, and
you
I
went
walked
there.
Out
no
after I walked out and got in my security car, unbeknownst to anybody, and came back to the office, back to my office at 4:45. And then I met the people, and I told them that I was going to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning if anybody wanted to come back to work, because nobody had to. But I said, I really need you, and I'll be here to welcome you. I was there at 5 o'clock, shook hands. Hundreds of people came back to work at my request. And then we decided that we had to go up to New York, and I was first secretary.
Yep.
I was up there before the president got up there. I went up to New York on the Amtrak. Beautiful day outside, but when I got there, you could hardly, we walked down. I walked down with chief of police, the fire chief, and the governor, and Rudy Giuliani was the mayor. And we walked down to one of the things. What struck me in New York is everybody, the stop and go lights were knocked out.
Yep.
Nobody honked a horn.
Oh,
everybody
no,
was so deaf. In New York, nobody honked a horn. Nobody smiled. And let people go through. They were all good soldiers and good Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They let people go through the lines, and they took their turn. And nobody said anything. Nobody honked a horn. It was all business. And everybody went down there, and I met with the people that were down there, and that was when they found the last live person. And I didn't get a chance to meet them. But then I went over to the hospitals and met with the doctors, met with some people that were injured, and then went out to where the morgue was. And it was just a ghastly thing to see all this terrible carnage. But the truth of the matter was, it was surreal. People, it was a bright sunny day, but there was so much debris flying down.
Oh, yeah.
And I was up there walking the streets of New York. But nobody, everybody was friendly, but nobody was smiling. Everybody was serious, and everybody was American. Went back to Washington, D.C., and that night everybody got together out outside of the Humphrey Building where I had my office, holding hands and with candlelights, singing, you know, different songs, proclaiming how great it is to be an American. It was just, it was a type of thing, you know, you were didn't know what was going to happen next, but you knew we were united, we were together. There was no Democrat or Republican or independent. Everybody, we were all Americans. And to be in New York and have nobody honk their horn to this day amazes me. But that was the feeling of the time. We were there to be polite, be direct, businesslike, and everybody came in to help out.
That's awesome.
And I was the first secretary to go up and visit, and I still remember how appreciative the governor and the mayor were that I was there and go over to the hospitals and help out with the doctors. It was unreal, but it was America.
Yeah,
finest.
That's awesome. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson, and I want to pivot a little bit. You know, because we're going through, you know, you said it was surreal. We are kind of going through a little bit of a surreal time right now. And I want to I want to talk about the conversation that's going on in the Democratic Party. I would imagine you know Joe Biden. We got about 3 minutes here.
But, I know Joe Biden very well. I worked with him when I was secretary, and I knew him when I was governor.
What's going on in the Democratic Party? Where are they today? And you know, how, like, I just want your thoughts on the whole state of play there.
I have said for well over a year that Joe Biden will not be the nominee, and I still don't believe he'll be the nominee.
I don't either.
I think that, and I've been saying it for a year. I know Joe Biden, and I felt sorry for Joe Biden during that debate.
If Joe Biden was the
Joe Biden I knew when I was secretary, he would not, I am fairly confident, would not continue.
That was hard to
see. I was embarrassed, and I was sad to see Joe in that condition.
Yeah.
Because I knew him as a very outgoing, aggressive, and strong person. And I just know that he would say, I'm not fit for the job, and I got to turn down. But right now, I don't think he's completely in control. I think his family is pushing him to stay in, and I think he's more or less acceding to that pressure. But I don't think he's going to remain during the Democrat National Convention.
I don't
think so.
There's too much opposition. There's too much, and it's growing too. And what is the state of the party? I mean, you know, where is there room to work with the Democrats right now? As if you're a Republican,
I think there is. I think right now, Mark, that we have so much polarization, so much partisanship in America, that I think it's going to get worse, I think, during this election. But I am very optimistic that after this election, no matter what happens, people are going to come together. I think people are just fed up with the partisanship and the polarization and the fact that nothing is getting done. We're a country of doers. America has always been the country that's out there aggressively leading. We're not leading anymore.
Right.
And we got so many internal problems that we're not addressing. And that's not America.
Right.
That's not what we're cut off for. We're supposed to be solving problems. That's what we do as Americans, as Wisconsinites. We solve problems. And we're not doing that. So I think after the election, I am fairly optimistic that we're going to come together as a country and as a state and start working together as Democrats and Republicans. I tell people this thing, Mark. I say, run as a Republican, run as a Democrat, run hard. But once you win, give up being the R's and D's, not completely, but join the W party, the winning party, the Wisconsin party, and work together and get something done. That's what I did as governor. I brought people together. And we got things done. Even with Democrats in control of both houses, I was able to get a lot done for the state of Wisconsin because, as President Reagan once said, it's amazing how much you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit.
It's exactly
right.
That's
what we have to do. We have to get back to that.
I totally agree. We're talking with Governor Tommy Thompson. We talked about the Democratic side. We're going to talk about the Republican side here as the convention rolls into Milwaukee. We're going to talk about what Tommy's going to be doing at the convention. Coming up, if you want to hear this.
News from the center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A day after a New Mexico judge dismissed the involuntary manslaughter case against actor Alec Baldwin over evidence not provided to the defense attorneys by the prosecution, attorney Gloria Allred represents the parents and sister of cinematographer Helena Hutchins today outside the Santa Fe courthouse.
The dismissal of the criminal case against Alec Baldwin is in no way, shape, or form an exoneration of him.
Allred promises a civil lawsuit. 10,000 balloons blown up today in Milwaukee ahead of next week's Republican National Convention. They'll be dropped the final night on Thursday when Republicans are expected to nominate Donald Trump. Senator Susan Collins not happy with the choices this November. The Republican says she will vote for neither former President Trump nor President Joe Biden and will instead write in Nikki Haley for president. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night, 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a 5-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddy Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I think
Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost five in a row. So they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just three hits on two walks over four and two-thirds innings in his first ever major league start. A familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet to right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won five in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of a thunderstorm, otherwise mostly sunny and highs in the upper 80s. Chance of storms tonight, a low around 70. Thunderstorms for Sunday, otherwise sunny, hot and humid, a high near 91. Heat index in the upper 90s, still hot on Monday.
Currently, 88 degrees.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite ways to think about budgeting, saving, and overall financial health. It's called pay yourself first. It's a little counterintuitive, right? Like, wait, I'm going to pay me? Really? Yes, sirree. You're the one that earns your money. And that means that your savings, you know, your investment in your future, ideally gets paid before you even notice your paycheck hitting your checking account. To pay yourself first, you pick an amount, and then you automatically transfer that to a savings account. It could be 15%, it could be 20 bucks. Just start wherever you're comfortable. Doing this ensures that you're always funding your future and that your savings goals are safe from the temptations of the weekly spend. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, take good care.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle rider.
Pete Schwaba.
Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m. where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. We are talking with Governor and all-around good guy, Tommy Thompson. And we're talking about, you know, where, what the state of play is. And I love what you said before about coming together. You know, and that's kind of, for me, why I became involved in Republican politics as well. And, you know, I rose to the, I was a chairman of the Republican Party in Brown County, and then I was an elected official myself. But, you know, why I was in the Republican Party was because I believed in some things. Like, I wanted to live in a government. I wanted, you know, if I work really, really hard, I can earn as much as possible for my family. I didn't want the government telling me what to do. You know, I'm a hunter. I have, you know, guns. I think that that's okay. And, you know, for me, some people point to, like, Ronald Reagan and all of that. But for me, it was George W. Bush and you, Tommy. But at George W. Bush's inauguration, this is like this sentence here was why I was a Republican. And he said, when he was inaugurated, he said, "The grandest of these ideals is an unfolding American promise that everyone belongs, everyone deserves a chance, and that no insignificant person was ever born." And that, to me, was what it meant to be a Republican. And
that And that still is.
Yes.
The basic credo of being a Republican is take stock of yourself, but also reach out. Everybody has got meaning. Everybody has got self-worth. Everybody has and should have that opportunity because we are in America.
Yeah.
That's what America stands for. Independence, opportunity, limited government. Those are the principles.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.